Hey, good morning, everybody. A new creation. I just listened to a sermon about reconciliation, and that just puts emphasis on to be reconciled is to be reborn spiritually. We were separated from God in the Garden of Eden when the sin of obedience entered this physical world, and we were separated from God, and now we are new creations through reconciliation of Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. He made a way that we can have eternal life and be redeemed, be reconciled to Him in a relationship that is unending. I'm thankful for you all this morning. I'm thankful for Bible school. I'm thankful for what Jesus has done in my life and your lives as well. I want to say happy Father's Day to each and every one. I want to give you a bit. I spent time with my children yesterday and the grandchildren, and it's just amazing. Debbie and I just look at one another, and it's like we've been so blessed throughout our lives, and it makes me thankful for the family that raised us, mom and dad and aunts and uncles, whatever it might be. But there's a time I was telling my boy yesterday, one of the greatest days of my life and one of the saddest moments in my life was on his wedding day. We sat there, we watched him get married. I believe Dave done the service. Man, I was, you know, proud of the young man, you know, and he's taken on the responsibility of being a husband, and he's since become a father two times over, and to see how he has developed and to be a responsible a young man. But that night of his wedding, after it was over, we're gathered around the reception and seeing all the folks and watching him and his wife out there on the dance floor with all his friends and their wives or girlfriends, wherever it may be. And it was just a big old crowd of Billy's circle right there. And Dad wasn't in it. And I thought right then, you know, he's a grown man, and I'm proud of him. And I thought right then, he don't need me no more. And I was telling that yesterday and brought a tear again yesterday. So, you know, because me and him was like this. But so that makes me think of our Heavenly Father, how much He loves us, the extent. Because I went as far as I could go for my children. But I was limited. But our Heavenly Father is unlimited. And He went the full distance that you and me can be reconciled unto Him. Praise the Lord this morning. Now, we're back to a little bit of the Bible school. As we go through Bible school, if you watch and you observe, you see maybe people that don't move at all, and you might see step to the left. You see some clapping, old Tony, bad back and all, and he's up here leading us, leading the charge. I told Debbie when she said he was singing, I'm thinking, man, he's got to be sung out. All the singing and shouting he's done this week. But look at him, he's still in service for the Lord. Because you know what, Bible school might have ended, but it didn't end. Every day of our lives, we're in Bible school. Teaching our children. Teaching one another. Encouraging one another. Lifting the one that's down. Carrying the one that's sick. Holding up the arms of our pastor. Doing what needs to be done. So, who remembers what the camp call-out was? Come on, I know a few of you was in Bible school this week. Amen. You hear that, folks? Whenever I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. So I want us all to say that together. right now. Whenever I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. So who are we talking to? God. Okay. We said that a lot during our lessons and our activities out there. The first night was about Jacob. We're talking about Jacob feared Esau. Jacob feared Esau because of the story of Esau. Jacob and Esau, but look it up. But after his meditation with Christ, when he had with God, when he had his head laying on a stone, he woke up and he put his trust where? In God. Because when he was afraid. Second night was Ruth and the lesson we've just had. So we see where they had put their trust in him, in God. It was Naomi. She was going back home because she had lost everything. Now you think she was sad about, I think that the world had come down upon her. Has any of us ever been experiencing that? Huh? You know, I can look around the room and I can see illnesses and sicknesses and things going on in people's lives and maybe financial difficulties, all things going on. Put your trust in him. Mary, how many of you love your children so much that you're afraid when they might be in harm's way? Huh? That's how much we love our children that we worry and fret. But Billy and Mandy are right around 40. One's a little over 40, one's a little under 40. But yeah, they're still my babies. And when they hurt, I hurt. And I'm sure you feel that. And Mary, that was her fear. Her son had stayed behind doing the Lord's work. But she was still her little boy. And she feared something might happen. And she went back and she put her trust in God. And the last night, as you know, you've heard the story many times. Let us go to the other side in the boat. And the sea was calm and peaceful. Don't you like those times when everything in life is just calm and peaceful and you just rolling along, you know, I got this, you know, and then a storm comes out of nowhere, surprises you, blows and carries on, and you fear. And who do they turn to? And what did he do? He calmed it. He calmed the storm. And they made it to the other side. That's speaking to us today, folks. So we go to back to that verse, the camp call out verse, and it says in Psalm 56, verse 4, in God I will praise his, wrong one. Verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Let's all stand and we'll read that together, but we're going to be staying right in Psalm 56. All morning, unless the Lord leads otherwise. But and we can all say this together. We can read, everybody read this together. Verse 3, Psalm 56, verse 3. It says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Let's say that again. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. One more time. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you again for your love and your mercy and your goodness. We call out on your name through the blessed sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for each and every one of us, that we can be reconciled unto you, that we can come directly to the throne of mercy, to the throne of grace. We can come and speak to the Creator of all. We call out right now for your blessing upon this service here this morning. We call out again for your blessing on our pastor this morning. We call out again for your blessing on those that can't be here this morning, that you move upon them. Maybe those listening by car or home or wherever they might be, Lord God, we just ask for you to visit with them as only you can. I do right now, Lord, humbly ask that you forgive me where I fail you. And these favors we ask in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now as I was looking at that verse 3, you know, thinking about what we did all week was what time I am afraid I will trust in thee. So I just went and studied a bit on the whole book of Psalm, and we know that David wrote the majority of the book of Psalms. Be merciful unto me, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. And the headline of that is David complaining about his enemies. Do we live in a world today, in a time today, that it seems like we have very many enemies, and I'm talking about the attack on the Christian faith. Amen. On churches, large, small, wherever they might be. Those that stand and make a stand for Christianity is under attack. Even those that maybe pretend to make a stand against Christianity, they're still against them. They want to defeat Christianity, and that puts fear I don't want to say in the body of Christ, but it puts fear in the weaker Christians. Okay, and you know, that could be a divided group within our building right here of who's put their faith in God and put their trust in Him, that they don't fear what man can do to them. And we'll never know till we're right in that situation. Well, you could say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Peter said, I'll never deny you, didn't he? And Peter, in our mind status, was right up there with Jesus. He rubbed elbows with the Savior of us all. Yet he did. So in verse 1, David's calling out for mercy. He's calling out to his heavenly Father, whom we've talked about. He is our heavenly Father today. He's calling out for mercy. Oh God, for man shall swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. And one of the notes around that is about the persecution that he has. Now, if you know the story of David, you know Goliath wanted to kill him. You know Saul wanted to kill him. You know so many armies wanted to kill him. Yet he was a man after God's own heart. And remember, we got to remember, David was not a perfect man. He stumbled and fell, and he committed sins against God, just as we do. But he rose up, as we continue in this verse. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Now he's talking about, and how often do we talk about, the things that are against us, the things that try to hamper our lives, the things that it's going on in this world today. Verse 3 is the camp call out, if you'll remember. And what is it? Let's all say that together. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And that's David. That's David calling out. That's David. He knows the situation he's in. He knows where he's been, what he's done, and who his enemies are. And he is trusting in God. And that could be you. That's us. That's where we need to be, in that situation or in our lives today. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know, we're sitting here thinking maybe, you know, we'll be going with family today, doing this and that, and doing this and that. And God say, today, thy soul might be required of you. And if you trust in Him, that's okay. That's okay. Are you ready for that? Amen. Amen. That's a good place to be. It's good to be a Christian. Verse 4 says, David's saying, in God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That's easy to say, but can we do that? That measures our faith. And you know how, I think Debbie and I was talking about something the other day. We was talking about our faith, you know, the faith size of a mustard seed. And right now, that in a situation we was in, wherever that mustard seed faith looked pretty big. You know, we talk about how small it is, but it looked pretty big at that point in time for us. And I know Debbie and my story, the times we've been in those pickles and whatever, and you all have your stories of the things you've been through in your life. Of the things you're going to go through. It says, whenever I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Verse 5, every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Have you ever had somebody turn your words around on you? Uh-huh, yeah, that's pretty unanimous, isn't it? And we see that going on today in the right out in the world on the media. The screens we put in front of our faces is just flashing lies and words turned around to make it appear evil, as the rest of that verse says. They're how is it? Continually evil. Continually trying to break people down, to break us down. Verse 6, they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. They're watching you closely, hoping you'll make a misstep. You ever be the one that you go to a restaurant or a store or any place that somebody serves you? Whether it be food, just whatever kind of service you get. And when it's not good service, do you speak up? Or in your mind, do you think, man, that's terrible? Blah, 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 blah. But do you say nothing? But you notice it. What if it's perfect service? What if everything's good? Do you just take it for granted? Or do you say something? Hey, you've done a good job. You've done a good job. That's what they're doing. They won't tell you the good. They're watching for anything they can use against you that they can manipulate. Because they're not afraid to lie, you know, or manipulate or do whatever. So that's what David's up against. He's calling out to God to guide him through this time in his life, through this situation, the situations of his life that's going on. But the purpose of this whole verse, whole chapter here, is him putting his trust in God. Verse 7, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people. God knows. Now, do you believe this? You need to believe this. I hope you believe this, and I hope you're grounded in this, that God knows the thought of every person. So, good or evil, right or wrong, God knows their thoughts, but we got to remember God knows your thoughts. So, David's saying, you know what they're doing. You know the conniving traps they're trying to lay before me. You know the motivations that are behind everything. Do you ever wonder what the motivation is behind a lot that's going on in the world today? What's the, you ever just sit and meditate on that just for a little bit? What's the source? Because every river has a source. So all this evil coming out, what's its source? Well, you got to know it's Satan. But we try to put a person's name and face there. You know, of course, a lot of people holler, it's Joe Biden. It's not Joe Biden. He's just part of it. It's beyond him. So we got to know what we're up against, and we got to know that God knows what we're up against, and God has defeated what we're up against. We got to put our trust in the God that has done that and is going to do that, and will continue doing that. Is there an amen for that one? Amen. Whenever I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. Thou tellest my wanderings, verse 8. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? There again, God knows our thoughts and our deeds. God knows each and every one of our situations. Fully and completely to the T. He knows every situation that every one of us has. And most likely, not many of us know what our neighbor's situation really is. You just see on the surface, whatever it might be. But God knows that place in your heart. You ever think about that place in your heart that only you can go? Your spouse, as close as Debbie and I are, there's still a place that only I and God can go. So David's saying, you know that that place in my heart, but put my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Now, just to elaborate on that book a bit, you'll find that in Revelation. That is the book of life, and that's where God keeps notes, names. Verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. For this I know. Now listen real close right here. For this I know, for God is for me. Do you believe that this morning? Do you realize that? It's beyond belief, because believing is something that we maybe choose to do, but it don't change the facts that that's the way it is. We hear that a lot in the world today, even in the good or bad or whatever it is facts are facts. Truth is truth. Truth needs no support. Lies need more lies to have support. The truth is standalone. And do you know where the source of truth is? You know where the head, where the pinnacle of truth begins? Is with our Heavenly Father. And that's why David puts his trust in Him. In God will I praise His Word. How important is God's Word to you? I mean to us, but I'm talking individually. How important is God's Word to you? How completely do you receive God's Word? How completely do you accept God's Word? The world There's groups that pick and choose parts of God's Word. But we must take all of God's Word as He intended, as He inspired, as David did. In God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. Verse 11. And if you'll notice, you'll see this text is twice. Verse 4 and verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. That's in there twice. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I will not fear what man can do unto me. They can beat us. They can behead us. They can humiliate us or do whatever. They can't touch this. They can't touch your relationship with the God of heaven. And that's going to be their demise. So, in going more through this, we've got to continually put our trust in Him. We've got this baby Eli. You know, he was, a pound or something when he was born. And that's not normal for babies to be born. But we got to put our trust that God will do the right thing for this young'un. Now, it might not be something we want or not, because we know it's inevitable one way or the other in those situations. But we will not fear, because we will put our trust in God. Do you understand that? Do you comprehend that? Because it's hard to get beyond that. It's only what I pray for if it works out how I want it. We got to accept, if we trust in God, we got to accept the results as God does it. And we got to know it's for the best. Sometimes we'll question God. Are you sure, God? How dumb is that? But we've all done that, right? Huh? We've all done that. How can that be? It's because it's His plan. He knows the end at the beginning. Verse 12. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. The status of my spirituality during the times of the loss of our parents, our dad and our mother. It was several years apart. And at the time when our dad passed, and you can relate this to yourselves if you've been in that situation, whatever it might be. But my spirituality was not where it should have been when our dad left. And I was devastated. I was destroyed. I couldn't understand. And I was a Christian. And I had just been ordained as a preacher 2 days prior. And it destroyed me. And I knew he went to heaven. But it still just destroyed me. Because I didn't fully trust in God's plan. Now, if you'll know, you remember when our mother passed away. I walked into that room. Brother and sister was already in there, and me and Jeffrey. We come in, and Rodney says, she's gone. My response was, praise the Lord. She's in heaven. She's receiving her reward. That's a hallelujah moment. As the world describes death as a tragedy, death is not the tragedy. Death is part of life. Now listen closely. The tragedy is someone dying and going to hell. That is the tragedy. That is the separation from God. Death is just part of it. Our grandpa Charlie told us that when our dad died. He said, I'm sorry for you boys, but that's part of life. And this man had buried two wives and I don't know how many youngins and brothers and sisters, and to minister to us at that moment. That's part of life, and I realize that now. The sooner we realize that the tragedy is dying and going to hell and not death, because that's just going to happen. It's part of it. So as David's finishing up right here, thy vows are upon me. O God, I will render praises to thee. Are you in a place where you can worship God when a dear loved one passes? And it's hard. Hard. But do you trust? There's that faith of a mustard seed. Do you trust? Do you have faith that God has done what He said He's going to do? God does what He says He's doing, and He's going to do what He's going to do. Do you trust that this morning? That's where David's at right here. That's where that verse for Bible school, the camp call out, come from. Is whenever I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. Verse 13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now wait a minute. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. We're talking about the spiritual death right here. Because if y'all remember, David, he does die, right? All those folks died. But he was rejoicing because he had made it right with God. He had put his trust in God. He depended on God. His faith is what saved him. His faith is what gave him salvation. His faith is what made him be able to say, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Just to elaborate on that last little bit. He is acknowledging God, his faith in God for his salvation. Now he's been complaining about all the issues that he's living through. Just as we all have our issues that we're living through in this flesh. Do we trust that he can save our souls? Do you trust he can take care of your cut finger? Do you trust that his ways are ways of perfection, that we can accept whatever he has for us, whatever it might be? You know, I'm talking everything in our lives. Everything in our lives. Can we trust God? Everybody answer this question. And I want to hear an answer. Do you trust in God? Yes. Amen. Amen. There we go. That's the start of whenever I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. So that was the emphasis that we put on our children out there, because there's so many other sources trying to distort them and to take them away from that confidence in God and to put their trust in something else. Put their trust in self. And we see what happens to self. It dies. It diminishes. Your teeth fall out. Your eyes go bad. And you pull an Uncle Rick and try to cut your finger off with a knife. That's just part of the fleshly world that we live in. Do you? And I'm going to close with that right there. If you guys want to get a song or whatever it might be. Where's your faith? Where's your trust? And it speaks very loud volumes to me personally, is, oh me of little faith. Do you want to grow your faith? Do you want that mustard seed to get a little bigger? Trust in His Word. Seek His Word. And if you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. Accept Him for whom He is and what He has done into your life.